The New Testament reading is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised, by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his death the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of God.
Well, as you all know, on Sunday mornings we're busy learning from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So if you'd like to open your Bibles again, we're in chapter 2, and last Sunday we finished at verse 10. So this morning I want to take us from verse 11 through to verse 22. Ephesians chapter 2, and from verse 11 to verse 22. Now we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Lord, we thank you today. We serve a Lord who was a servant king, that he always put others first. He never lorded it over people. He was a servant. But thank you that he came to bring peace among people who were divided and separated, and especially to those who were far away from God. And we praise, we learn today, as to all that you did on the cross. I ask you please to help me, Lord, in my weakness, to try and explain such a glorious passage as this one is way beyond me. But won't you help us together by your Spirit to see what is here and to be drawn to the one who has brought peace through his death. Take away all distracting thoughts now, Lord. Help us to concentrate, to learn, and to become better Christians because of our time together. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, in many ways, what we're going to have a look at this morning, we've been building up to over these last number of weeks that we have been together in Ephesians. Because these verses 11 to verse 22 bring us to the very heart of this letter to the Ephesians. And it's going to explain to us how the Lord Jesus Christ is our peacemaker and how he has secured the unity of his church by the sacrifice which he offered on the cross. And also we are going to see how he abolished all of those laws that were there to bring division, especially between the Jew and the Gentile. So it is a very, very meaningful passage. It's very moving, and the implications are massive for you and me today. So let's keep our eyes glued into that passage, and I want to take you slowly through it. But look at verse 11 and those opening two words. Therefore, remember. So the first thing that the apostle wants us to do this morning is just to pause in our busyness and all the other demands that take your time and attention. And he says, I want you to stop and to remember what you were formerly. You see, brothers and sisters, that's a reminder, isn't it? That we are not what we used to be. You are not the man that you used to be, nor the woman you used to be. Formerly, you led a different way of life. Formerly, you had different standards, you were governed by different ideas. Formerly, things were different. But now that you have become a Christian, it's different. So what he wants us to do then is this. He says, therefore, remember. Alright? So for the next few moments, I'm going to show you what you were like in the past, before by the grace of God, you were saved and converted. Notice also, before I come to that, he says, formerly you, that's you and me, who are Gentiles. Gentiles, of course, are the non-Jews. We were Gentiles by birth, and we are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. Now, just for a moment, you will remember in those days that circumcision was a very, very important thing. Today, spiritually speaking, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised is irrelevant. In the new covenant, in the new order, it's finished. The most important thing now is that you've been circumcised in your heart, not with a man-made operation, but by the Spirit. But in those days it was big. So here were the Jews, the circumcised. They would come to the Gentiles, who were the uncircumcised, and they did everything they could to put up a barrier between the Jew and the Gentile. If you went into the temple, for example, there was a massive wall. And that wall said, stop! You're not allowed in because you're a Gentile. This is for the Jews. This is for the chosen people. You are uncircumcised. We are circumcised. There was a massive barrier. There was a huge tension point between the Jew and between the Gentiles. So what were we like, he says? What was the condition of our Christian life before we came to Jesus? Alright, let's go through that. So the first thing you need to remember, brothers and sisters, is that you and I were separated from God. That's the first thing I want you to clearly remember this morning. You and I, by nature, were separated before God. And you're going to find that now as I take you through verse 11 and through verse 12. And there were five issues that were clear. Number one, he says, remember, see verse 12, that at that time you were separate from Christ. That's the first thing he wants you to remember today. Formerly, You were separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in saying that, friends, that's not a small matter, is it? William Hendrickson says, in our former state, this reminds us that we were unspeakably wretched. That's what it was like for me. That's what it was like for you. Any person that's never truly, wonderfully come to a saving knowledge of Christ is without Christ. Now imagine what life would be like without Jesus for a minute. But that's how the majority of people go to work tomorrow. That's how the majority of school children go to school. The majority of our student world is still there. They are without Christ. Now, my brothers and sisters, this morning, can I remind you that to be without Christ is desperate. Means that day by day you are without the living presence of the Lord. And if perhaps you and I had to die, we'd go into a Christless eternity in hell. That's what it says. Formally, remember that. You were without Christ. Number two. The second thing he tells me is, see verse 12, we were excluded from citizenship in Israel. Again, going back to the days, the Gentiles were excluded from the many blessings that pertained to the Jewish theocracy. They lacked citizenship among the chosen people. This was indeed a deplorable lack, because it was to Israel that God of old had revealed himself in a very special manner. It was to those people that he had given his law, his protection, his prophecies, and his promises. Now, Paul is saying to us, remember, in the past, formerly, you were stateless. You were excluded. You were cut off. You were not part of the blessings that God had given to that nation. Number three. Not only were you separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, but he says, foreigners to the covenant of the promise. So you and I were friendless. The essence of the covenant of grace to which this passage is referring is the experience of the friendship of God. We were friendless. That glorious covenant, that divinely established arrangement between the triune God and his people, whereby God carries out his eternal decree of redemption by promising his friendship and therefore full and free salvation to his people upon the death of Jesus on the cross. In the past, you and I were separated from that. Christless, stateless, friendless. And number four, he says, at the end of verse 12, without hope. Now, I don't know what that says to you. But a number of years ago, I remember reading Jay Adams, who's written those wonderful books on counseling. And he reminds us that it's so important that people have hope. If you haven't got hope, my dear friends, you are desperate. Desperate. If one looks into the past, what this passage is reminding me of, that was us. There was no foundation. There was no assurance of salvation. There was no sense that our sins were forgiven. There was no sense that we are going home to be with God. We were formerly without hope. There was no light on the horizon. No hope. And then lastly, number five, if you have a look at the end of verse 12, And he says, we were without God in the world. Without God in this world. Now, when you put those five things together, friends, this morning, there are many things in life, if I may say that to you, that we can forget about. Wipe them off. Don't worry about them anymore. But the Bible says, there's something you must never forget. There's something you mustn't wipe out. You must never, ever forget what you were before God found you. You must never forget that. Never, ever forget the state that you were in before God found you. You were Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, and you were godless. That was your position. Look at the next two words. Verse 13. Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, godless, but now. See the impact of those two words? But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God for that verse, friends. So let's come to number two. The second thing I want you to notice is the reconciliation which Jesus has now brought into being. So separation, we've been through that. But let me show you now how reconciliation has taken place. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus. You see, there's the key. There's the hope. There's the anchor. Everything changes in Christ. It's in Jesus that you and I, who are far away, have now been brought near through the blood of Christ. You and I, who are stateless, friendless, Christless, hopeless, godless, that was us. We have now been brought near to God, not because of anything we did. Not because of how we lived our lives, not because of our morality, not because of our religion, but only because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And through the blood that He shed as a sacrifice for our sin, you and I, who are far away, are brought near. Now I want us to stop there and see a tremendously important principle. It really is important, and it is this, that God's way of uniting human beings together is neither intellectual, like with philosophy as in Roman Catholicism, nor is it political, through conquest, like in Islam or Marxism. God's way of bringing people together is spiritual. And it happens through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Look at verse 14. He is our peace who has made the two one. So here in the past, there was this massive barrier. The Jew and the Gentile. This big wall that said to the Gentiles, no further, you are not allowed in. You cannot come here. It's only for the Jew. You are uncircumcised. We are circumcised. Stay out. Separation. Barriers. What does Jesus do? He goes to the cross and he sheds his blood on the cross and he creates a salvation for people that through Jesus, these two nations, Jew and Gentile, are now scrapped and there's one new family. That's what he has done. He has made the two one. Notice what it says there. And he has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So Jesus on the cross destroyed. See that word? He has abolished. He has got rid of those barriers that were put up between the Jew and the Gentile. So the question is, how did he do that? Let me show you. The first thing that he did was, he destroyed the enmity between the Jew and the Gentile. He destroyed it. On the cross, after thousands and thousands of years, Jesus went to the cross and he destroyed the enmity that there was between the Jew and the Gentile. So you may say to me, but how did Jesus do that? How did he get rid of this enmity? Let me show you. There were two things he did. Point A, he abolished the law and the commandments. He abolished the law and the commandments. Look at verse 15. By abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. Because his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So now Jesus comes, brothers and sisters, and it's an incredible thought. It's the most amazing thing. He says, what caused this division? Well, there it is. There were all these ceremonial laws. You can read about them in Exodus, Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy. Lots and lots of ceremonies with regards to circumcision, with regards to sacrifices, with regards to what you can eat or what you cannot eat, with regards to what's clean or unclean. All of these ceremonial civil laws that were there to cause division between the Jew and the Gentile, Jesus abolished. Jesus is saying, I have now fulfilled all these laws. I am now the one that you must focus on if you want to come back to God and find one another. Now we are bound, we love, we desire, we urge one another to uphold the moral law. That is always there for us. But the ceremonial, all those little nitty-gritties that were causing the division, they have been abolished. And you and I, in a sense, in a spiritual sense, we fulfill all of those the moment you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to do those anymore. Praise the Lord for that. Really, I think it's tremendous. So Jesus abolished both the regulations of the ceremonial law and the condemnation of the moral law. Both of them were divisive. Jesus put them aside by going to the cross. Point B, what else has he done? He has now created a single new humanity. See at the end of verse 15? His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two. So Paul moves from the negative to the positive, from the abolition of something old to the creation of something new. He moves away from the divisiveness of the ceremonial law to the creation of a single, undivided humanity that is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has now created a single new humanity. So from God's perspective, no longer does he say, are you a Jew? Are you a Gentile? God, The only thing that now matters is, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You have all your sins forgiven and fellowship with God. Have you now come into the new family that God has brought into being through His Son? Once you've come there, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white. Doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. Doesn't matter whether you're a Hutu or a Tutsi. They were killing each other in Rwanda, wasn't it? Doesn't matter whether you're a Zulu or a Xhosa. Doesn't matter. Because when you come to Christ, you become one. You become a brand new family. All the divisions that break people down, Jesus went to the cross to break away those things and to bring into being a wonderful new humanity. So number one, He destroys the enmity between Jew and Gentile. And number two, He destroys the enmity between sinners and God. So He says in verse 16, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. Oh, it's through the cross. Oh, I love singing that hymn. It just stirs me every time I sing it. When I survey the wondrous cross. Oh, He said to Mary, when you bury me, please, that must be sung. I don't care what else you do, but sing that song. Because the cross is our only hope, friends. It's the cross. It's the cross. So how are sinners brought to God? It's not by transcendental meditation. It's not by living a good, clean life. It's not by being baptized or being confirmed or being vaccinated. The only way to be converted to God is through the cross. You've got to go to the cross. You've got to repent at the cross and trust in the finished work of Jesus. The moment you do that, by God's grace you are saved and drawn into the family of God where there are brothers and sisters with you. So, separation, that's what we were, verses 11 and 12. Reconciliation through the cross, verse 13 to 18. And then just lastly, number 3, there is now unification. Separation, reconciliation, and unification in verses 19 to 22. So you see the first word in verse 19, consequently, as a result of reconciliation, here's the result. Listen again. You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. And you are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. So we close now with what has Jesus done through the cross. Just 3 quick things. Number 1, He has now created one nation. There is now one nation in verse 19. See that? We are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. We are no longer aliens. We are a new nation now. We are fellow citizens with all of God's people. And we are built on Jesus. Everything is built on Jesus. He is the cornerstone. But you and I have now come into a new nation. And if I may say that to you, the local church, once you see this passage, not just in the mind, but deep down in the heart, it's the most wonderful picture in the world. Imagine if Christchurch, Pine Town, with people come out there, coming out of a world where there's so many barriers, so many divisions, so many man-made institution that separates people. The moment you come to Jesus, you come into a new family. And we are brothers and we are sisters. We are now a brand new nation, living under the rule of our God. Number two, not only are we a new nation, but he tells us we are one family. We are one family. Speaks about God's people and what we believe and how we act and what we do and so on is always based on that solid foundation of what the apostles and the prophets have taught. We go back to that all the time and we are strong in our allegiance to that. We base everything that we do on what the apostles have written for us in God's word and certainly on what the prophets have said. So there's one nation, there's one family, and thirdly, we have now become one temple. In Him, the whole building is joined together, and it rises to become a holy temple. In the year 70 AD, dear friends, you all know that, the Roman Emperor Titus walked into Jerusalem, and what did he do? He destroyed the city. He destroyed the temple. And he took thousands and thousands of those people into exile. And that's where Daniel and Ezekiel went and Ezra and Nehemiah were much earlier with the first temple that brought them back. But when Titus came, it was finished. Titus destroyed them. Titus razed the temple to the ground. With the early one under Nebuchadnezzar, they were rebuilt. But under Titus, it was finished. Titus destroyed it. Titus wiped it out. Titus got rid of it. And you know what? It's never been built. And you know what? If I share my humble opinion with you, it doesn't need to be built. We don't want a new temple anymore. Why not? Because you are the temple. You and I are the temple. God doesn't dwell in buildings anymore. Where does He live now? He lives in you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God now has done something incredible. Where there was division and hatred and schism and all these things, God said to His precious Son Jesus, I want you to go to the cross, shed your blood on the cross, be an atonement for sin, and what's going to happen? We're going to bring into being a new nation. Brand new nation of men and women, boys and girls from every background who repent of their sin and trust in the finished work of Christ. We'll form a new nation. We'll make a new family. A brand new family. Living under the love and the grace of God. And not only a new family, we'll create a brand new temple in which God lives by His Spirit. Therefore, friends, you are no longer aliens. You are no longer foreigners anymore. You have now translated out of that and you've come into a new kingdom over which God rules. You've come into a brand new family which God loves. And you've become a temple in whom God lives. A nation over which God rules. A family over which God loves and a kingdom in which God lives. Isn't that incredible? That's what God has done. It's hard for us to exaggerate the grandeur of this picture which you and I have just been through. This new society which God has brought into being is nothing short of a brand new creation, a new human race, whose characteristic now is not alienation, but reconciliation. No longer division, but hostility and unity and peace. It is a society now over which God rules, God loves, and God lives. Now, bear with me for a few weeks. Is that right? We're doing doctrine. Chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 is all doctrine. Every Sunday you come, I'm going to fill your mind with doctrine. But when I bring you to chapter 5, Paul's going to take all of this and say, now, this has happened to you, this is how you live as a wife. It's incredible, eh? Then this is how you live as a husband. This is how you live as children. This is how you live as someone that works for somebody else. This is how the sort of boss God wants you to be. But people always want to go to chapter 5 and 6. But you cannot get there till you've done 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're doing 1, 2, 3, and 4. Alright? I hope you found that helpful. Let's close in prayer and we'll be on our way. Lord, it's very difficult for us to explain these tremendous truths and depths. It's hard for us to fully understand this amazing picture that you have brought into being through Jesus. That you've enabled us to become a brand new nation under your rule, to be part of a family where we are loved by God, and Lord, to be a temple in which you live and dwell. Oh God, thank you for doing this for us. Thank you for your mercy in drawing us into this wonderful position. And I pray that in these coming days, we may now live lives that are worthy of this position. We pray that our church would reflect to Pinetown and to the world these great pictures that we have seen this morning. So we thank you for being with us this morning, and we ask you now to part us with your rich blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.